Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite deadly duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky.
And the part twos.
And today, if you're joining us, we are covering part two of the Kendrick Johnson case. If you haven't listened to part one, stop right now and go back to part one and listen to that.
It was heavy.
Yes, it was. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of mysteries. There's a lot of Tom's jaw has been on the floor.
I can't wait.
Gasping for air.
One of these days, we're going to start doing video, guys, and you're then going to finally be able to see when my jaw just like plummets through the floor.
Soon, we should be doing video. I swear. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun. But where we last left off, if you guys don't remember, if those that do. And those that don't. But anyways, where we last left off, Dr. Anderson was about to perform the second autopsy until he just, you know, he was like, right before he was about to, he was like, something doesn't seem right about this. So we're going to be jumping right back into there. And I'm excited to cover this case because it deserves to be talked about. Just like they all do, honestly.
There's got to be more to this. So
All right.
Let's get into it.
So when Dr. Anderson's team opened up Kendrick's body for the second autopsy, they were met with something pretty horrifying. His organs weren't there.
I'm sorry, what?
Mm-hmm. Instead, his body had actually been stuffed with paper. Newspapers, catalogs.
What the?
Flyers. Mm-hmm.
What the?
Mm-hmm. Every single organ from his head down to his pelvis were gone. Now, I need to throw this in there. That's just not how autopsies work, okay? When they do an autopsy, okay, they take out the organs to examine them to, you know, figure out what happened, what's inside the body, find the cause of death. But then they put those organs back in a bag, and they place them back inside the body before closing it up, okay? So that's just standard procedure.
You mean
procedure.
They don't, like, if I died, they aren't going to put, like, a bunch of yellow pages into my body?
They're going to be like, I know he liked McDonald's. Let's put a bunch of
Taco
coupons.
Bell, get it right.
Oh, yeah, God. Sorry. Well, that was going to be my next one. Yeah, you know, like, McDonald's, Taco Bell, all his favorites, favorites.
They just put a bunch of deluxe cravings boxes inside. Taco Bell, if you're listening, please sponsor us.
No,
I want free Taco Bell.
It's going to be Taco Bell's salsa packets.
The Diablo one.
The Diablo one, yeah.
He always ate this, but still got acid from it.
Yeah, literally. Always sent him to the bathroom. But he loved it. That's what we're going to reconvene on your grave. Yes, no.
I am dumbfounded right now.
I know.
I can't.
Shocked is to say the least, right? So that's standard procedure in any type of autopsy. That's just point blank. That's how autopsies work, you know. And Dr. Anderson,
I never knew that, but I kind of figured that.
Right, you would think that.
One would freaking think that.
Right. And so Dr. Anderson had obviously never seen anything like this in his entire career of 40 plus years. Like, this guy's been in it. That's insane. Like,
I hope that you didn't see this.
I know.
Like, on a daily basis.
No, but that's just weird. He's never seen it at all. Okay. So with that, what was left of Kendrick, Dr. Anderson tried to kind of piece together what really happened. You know, they exhumed his body. Let's see if we can find something. So he started looking for injuries that maybe they might have missed in the first autopsy, which they missed a lot, clearly. So thank you. And so he found something significant. Right near Kendrick's jaw, there was an area of hemorrhaging that hadn't been described before in the autopsy. That area is close to something called the carotid sinus, which controls blood pressure. If that area is severely compressed, it can slow down the heart rate, even stop it, which could cause blunt force trauma. Okay, so Dr. Anderson concluded that Kendrick likely died from blunt force trauma, not positional asphyxia, surprise. Right?
Kind of figured.
Right? And that made a lot more sense, especially given the lung findings. Because if there's no fluid in his lungs, like Dr. Anderson said, then that means Kendrick...
He definitely didn't die.
Well, that also means that Kendrick was probably already dead by the time he ended up in the gym mat. Because once you're dead, there's no way fluid's going to go in there.
Yeah, because your system's already done.
Exactly why they do. Why we have forensic pathologists, people. Okay. And so there was something else, though. They did notice that there's like slight cuts on Kendrick's finger. I think there's only like one or two fingers with cuts and bruising on his right side jaw. And that combined with everything else that they were seeing kind of led his family to believe that he must have been in a fight. Maybe a fight had happened pretty close to the time he died. Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're, and now, and to me, I'm like, now we're theorizing on facts. Okay. Now we're talking facts.
Wait, so is this like, is this how you can end up deciding the cause of death?
You mean a, yeah, a theory? So the coroner said that the organs, the reason why there's no organs in his body apparently, was that the organs were too decomposed and were destroyed by like natural process beforehand.
Doesn't matter, they're not yours.
Exactly. And so I just have to mention, because I felt like I couldn't find 100% accurate of like what happened, you know. I mean, there's no organs in his body. And so I'm like, did they ask questions? I'm sure they did, but I for some reason kept getting like different information. But I want to mention it anyway. So they, some of the stuff I was researching, it said that the coroner said that the organs were too decomposed and were destroyed by natural process beforehand. And that the funeral said that the funeral home said that they did receive the body without the organs, but said that they add newspaper as a normal practice if there are no organs. But no one has ever heard of that type of practice.
I was going to say, I've never heard of that. I've heard of like other ways of kind of filling stuffing in the body.
Yes.
But
yes.
Yeah.
And there's, you got to think about it too. No one notified the family. Yeah. Like, who's to say you're allowed to do that without even letting the family? And the family, like the Johnsons, didn't even know until he got exhumed. How sad is that? That's so sad. So after this, the federal prosecutor in Georgia made a public announcement that he will be conducting a federal review on the death of KJ, which was a big step in finding justice for him.
Yeah, this is huge.
Yeah, huge, because now finally,
it also
some answers
screams that the people initially in charge of this case screwed the pooch on it.
Oh,
100%.
Yeah.
Because if you're one, you had FBI get involved.
Right.
FBI doesn't get involved in small town murders.
Yeah, they don't.
Like, they typically, it's not that it's not important to them, but at the same time, they have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, they've got other things to do.
And then on top of it, the fact that now you're getting all the way up to your federal or
prosecutor,
your government level.
Yeah.
Like that, it screams that you guys up.
Yeah, and again, one thing to also mention is that once you get to this level, they don't just do it for anybody.
Yeah.
There's got to be some solid, hard evidence. Like, there's
showing
be something
that there's a lot of things wrong.
Yeah, that there's a lot going on and there's more to the story. So once the ball was rolling with more media coverage, came in the Bell brothers. Okay. Now, KJ and Brian Bell, which, by the way, guys, KJ is Kendrick Johnson. I'm just calling him KJ for sure. For sure. His family called him by that. So like to honor him that way. But KJ and Brian Bell got into a fight on a team school bus on their way to a playoff game. Brian Bell was described by Kendrick's friend who witnessed the fight as a jokester and the type that plays rough, almost kind of like a bully, okay? I feel like we all know some type of guy like that.
I knew a lot of
them. Or some type of friend like that. I know, baby. But you're doing so much better now.
Hell yeah.
People, stop bullying people. Just stop being...
Yeah, like, just be f***ing friendly to each other.
Yeah, just
like,
chill out. Just
everybody's
chill out.
Going through their own...
For real. Well, him and KJ were sitting together in the back when he grabbed KJ's dreads. You know, this is what his friend states is what happened. He grabbed KJ's dreads, held him down and kind of laughed. And that's kind of what caused the fight between them. KJ actually got the best of him. And it was said by one of KJ's friends that Brian did not like that. He was kind of losing that. But after that, they actually didn't like that Brian kind of lost the fight, right? And so they're on a school bus, so of course people are all around. Exactly. And again, it seemed like they were friends, but the way that Brian seems to mess around, it seems like he might take it too far sometimes and be like, well, what's so funny? I don't know. Again, I don't know him, but this is what I'm gathering from the reason. Oh my god, Phoebe scared the f*** out of me. It looked like somebody was walking up the stairs. Cause the fight, right? Yeah. So of course, they're on a bus. There's probably a teacher. You got the bus driver, yada, yada. So it said that after this incident, that they actually made KJ ride in a deputy car, but let Brian watch the game with his parents.
I'm sorry.
I know.
What?
So you're telling me that Brian starts this fight, and then KJ's the one that kind of gets put in a corner
I was going to say, it's almost like he's the one in the wrong.
Exactly. And again, just kind of leads into the racial play of things, the racial equality, because it just kind of puts things 100%. In perspective, right? Like, why is it that they're not both sitting in a deputy car, or why are they not at all, or just whatever, they You know what I mean? If it was a friendly situation or like, okay, yeah. It was a miscommunication or whatever the case is. Like, I've seen fights in high school where they just put them back on the field and they just have them sit very far apart from each other. Like, why yeah. single one out? Exactly. So Mr. Johnson also stated that KJ had told him how one day at school, Brian's brother, Brandon, was staring at him and was telling people at school that that fight wasn't over. And even told his dad that Brick Bell, which is Brian and Brandon's dad, came up to him at school and told him that the fight the other day on the bus wasn't a fair fight and that he should come over to their home and refight Brian.
What the father?
Yeah, so apparently Mr. Johnson says that that's what KJ told him. Like, yeah, it's kind of weird. And
that's psychotic.
I know. And Mr. Johnson was like, what did you tell him? And he was like, nothing. I just like laughed it off and left because that's weird. Like, even KJ was like, okay, yeah. That's strange. Like, you're odd, bro.
I would have been like, yo, y'all sound trashy.
Yeah, like you guys are terrible people. Ridiculous, right? Now, Brick Bell, because his first name's Brick, Brick Bell, which is Brian and Brandon's dad, is actually also an FBI agent.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I know. How the wheels turn. I know.
How the wheels? You mean tables turn?
Yeah. Sorry, we've been hanging out with our nephews too much that I keep singing the wheels on the bus. Myself, because nobody's been singing that.
I was going to say, they're what like singing, do you mean? They aren't singing
they're
that.
They're singing like Gangnam Style and... And Take On Me. Yeah, it's funny. But now, this is just obviously really strange. It's a really strange part of the story because what? Like, also, you're an FBI agent. Again, KJ, that's what Mr. Johnson said KJ told him. And KJ has no reason to lie. So the hell?
And it's also, I'm sorry, but FBI agents are, you're held to such a high standard. It's a multi-freaking length process just to be able to even become a candidate. To join and
to like risk like, something if that's yeah, really what you
if
were
that's
doing,
how you're holding yourself
yeah
that's like one of the first rules of being an FBI agent is that you don't do anything that would disrespect your family or the FBI.
Right, well clearly maybe somebody has chips on their shoulder clearly this is what it's sounding like, right? But yeah, I agree with you because it's like, wow, you went through all that to just turn out to be
a piece of
a crap. Yeah, exactly. And so Brian Bell and his brother were actually pretty much the only students at Lowndes High who weren't interviewed in the early days of the investigation, even though they have that one tie, you know, even if the only time that they ever communicated or talked was that one fight,
you're still a suspect.
You're still a suspect. Exactly. So of course they were not
especially with the ongoing threats after.
Right, exactly. And so they had actually lawyered up right away from what I was reading.
Oh.
Yes. And a part of me feels like,
because innocent people lawyer up right away.
Right. And a part of me also feels like they have an FBI dad, right? So they're already in the law enforcement. And so a part of me is like, he obviously probably knew that they got into a fight from what we're seeing. And so to me, that reads, well, now it reads two things. Either you did it, right? Or you were part of it somehow, right? I don't want to state anything because it's all alleged, but you were either a part of it and so you need a lawyer, or you got into that fight, you were not a part of it, but people are going to start looking at you because you were in that fight with KJ, and those threats that were kind of going around, that doesn't look good on you.
Good,
right?
No.
Yeah. But then things got even more coincidental. The focus kind of shifted to their dad, Rick Bell, which I don't know if his name is Brick Bell or Rick Bell. I think it's Rick Bell. But anyways.
Anyways.
Right. A former FBI agent. Now, you'd think someone in law enforcement would want to help with the investigation. But apparently there were whispers that he was allegedly trying to influence witnesses, talking to them in ways that, while not directly threatening, kind of made them uncomfortable. One student has stated that she'd kind of show up at her workplace and it just kind of freaked her out. But a part of me is also like, okay, where do you work? Because if it's like Chick-fil-A, you know, I might show up at your job just because I like Chick-fil-A.
Yo, I'm gonna show up every day for Chick-fil-A.
Exactly. So imagine you're...
She's like, he stalked me.
You're like,
I just like Chick-fil-A.
You're like, they got rewards every day. Okay. I don't know what you want me to say. Well, there were also allegations of obstruction of justice were being committed.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And at one point, the Bell's residence was actually raided. Yup.
Yo.
After this is happening. Yes. So now, as you know, you don't just raid an FBI agent's house on a hunch.
No.
You don't. Like, they had to have some type of solid evidence to get a judge to sign 100%. Off on that. And they're just not like, oh, yeah, let's just raid whoever's home. So to me, it just makes you wonder, you know, what was that evidence? I don't know if it even had anything to do with Kendrick Johnson, but maybe they started looking into them because of Kendrick Johnson and they discovered other things. Or maybe it was Kendrick Johnson. Who knows? But off that raid, nothing really came of it that we know of. But Brian Bell himself went on the news and in an interview said that he and Kendrick were actually friends and that that fight that they had on the bus was just something over something so minuscule that he couldn't even remember. And that he never saw him that day that he went missing and had nothing to do with his death. His brother Brandon backed him up as well in his own interview, saying that they never even saw Kendrick that day and that they were innocent and that they're praying for his family. Okay. Now, then there's this anonymous email that WJCL News gets. Okay. This just kind of adds more layers to the case and it names some people, but their names were redacted because they were minors. The email basically said that they knew what happened to Kendrick. Just to give you a quick synopsis, is that Jane had sex with Kendrick and then Joe found out. Joe didn't like that. And so that kind of led to them stating, oh, Joe is the one who killed KJ. And apparently he admitted to killing KJ more than once over the phone. And his brother, Joe's brother, also got drunk at a party on the 4th of July and told many people that Joe did kill KJ and that he was tired of keeping it a secret. So that is the anonymous email that WJCL News receives. Okay.
Absolutely wild.
Now, one thing to mention is that one of the kids mentioned in this email, okay, we don't know who he is, we just know his name's Joe, has a dad, or maybe it's the woman, but has a dad who was also an FBI agent.
How many of these kids got FBI agents as parents?
I know, so apparently, like, Valdosta is kind of known, or Georgia in general, like, I guess there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot everywhere if you think about it, but this seems to be a kind of...
I mean, Valdosta is, like... I'm pretty sure it's near Atlanta, and I'm pretty sure they have a field office in Atlanta.
I know, that's what I mean. That's why it's kind of interesting how this case is playing out because of the coincidentals, right? So the sheriff's office looked into it, but they came on the news and admitted that it was just hearsay, not firsthand information. And then the person who actually sent the email later recanted their story, saying that it wasn't true. I know.
Oh my God. So eerie.
I know. Now at Lowndes High, there were a lot of people who thought this whole thing was a cover up. And I mean, missing evidence, missing organs, racial
missing camera footage,
racial tensions of inequality, clearly people allegedly feeling intimidated.
Rolled back in.
Right. Exactly. Autopsy not reporting what it's supposed to be reporting. So clearly at this point, it's kind of hard to not think that it adds up to something really fishy going on either. Yeah, it's 100%. It's either a cover up or a horribly, disgustingly botched up investigation. Okay.
Or
a little bit of both. Now, another thing that I want to throw into the mix is that the U.S. attorney who was in charge of the case suddenly resigned later after reopening the case.
Yo, what?
I know. So all his cases were handed to his successor, right? Because obviously if you leave a job...
Yeah, it has to go to somebody.
But Kendrick's case was moved all the way up to Ohio.
What the f***?
Why? No one knows.
Why would you move it that far away?
That's what they did. To me, it just kind of puts we don't want to touch this anymore. You know, there's
something
more going on.
At this point, it doesn't even feel like they're hiding that it's a cover-up.
I know. I know, exactly. From all the evidence, it's just really hard to not believe that it isn't a cover. It's just so odd.
And if you're trying to convince the public that you're not covering something up, you're doing a really shitty job.
I know. But that same attorney that ended up leaving ends up joining a law firm in Georgia who ends up they deal with a bunch of other stuff, but they also deal with whistleblowers, I think it was. And I'm
I know.
And it's also one of the things that I was reading about that they mentioned. It's like, why would you reopen a case and then end up leaving it and then not
resigning
even,
immediately?
Resigning later.
It just doesn't add up.
So after 3.5 years later, There were still no federal charges filed. Prosecutors said that they didn't have enough evidence to prosecute and have a trial. So now Mr. Johnson, which is Kendrick's dad, states in the Tubi documentary, which please everybody go watch it because I think this is the most up-to-date doc that they have on Kendrick Johnson. But he states that the DOJ told him in a meeting that they had that they did know, they knew that the second shoe was planted and that they knew something else must have happened, but they couldn't prove who did it. Okay, now this is a conversation that Mr. Johnson had with the DOJ on his own accord, okay? Which just kind of leads to the thoughts and conversation of, you know, if it wasn't an FBI agent's kid involved, would this have happened? You know, if it was a white kid who was found dead in the gym of his school with the same details of Kendrick's case, would this be the same outcome?
Yeah.
You know, it just makes you wonder because it is really weird. It is really weird.
If it was an FBI son, 100%. Oh,
dude, they'd be moving to the ends of the earth. 100%. Yeah.
That body, everything would have been locked down. The school would have been locked down. Oh, nobody would have been leaving.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, I completely agree. So, and that's why it's just hard to separate that because that is a factor here, right? So after all this, Brick Bell, the father of the Bell brothers, he actually ended up resigning from the FBI.
Hmm.
And there were allegations of corruption. And you know, you can't help but wonder if that had anything to do with what we're talking about.
I mean, again, I'm saying if you guys are trying to convince people that there's not a cover-up happening.
Right, right.
Really shitty job.
No, I agree. And that's what I was saying earlier. It's either there's alleged findings of corruption, either because of Kendrick Johnson, like attached to Kendrick Johnson, or we're talking about other cases, which doesn't make it any better. Because who knows what else is behind the curtain. Okay, so after all this, Kendrick's body was exhumed a second time. So now he's going to get an autopsy report three times. It's going to be his third time. And this time, Dr. Anderson used a different technique and it resulted in finding blunt force trauma to his chest. But
I was going to say on that picture, it looked like autopsy, he took. Yes.
Yeah. It looks rough.
Like literally from his right up above his pectorals.
Yeah, no, seriously. But when Dr. Anderson, who did the autopsy, sent his findings to the Georgia medical examiner and the state attorney, he sent a whole slideshow. They told him they weren't interested. They basically blew him off.
Sorry, what?
Uh-huh.
You had somebody that just said, oh, hey, I'm looking at this body again, and here's proof.
More
that
proof.
There was foul play.
Yep.
Nah, it was an accident. We already ruled it out. Go home.
They weren't interested at all. And it's funny because in the Tubi documentary, they show never before seen slides of Dr. Anderson's findings. And they clearly show hemorrhaging, which other pathologists, he even sent it off to other pathologists, and they all agreed that it was consistent with blunt force trauma to the neck. So interesting, right? Last thing I'm going to mention.
Okay.
Comes a missing FBI report on the CCTV footage that they seized from the high school. There was an FBI report of the CCTV footage, and it was heavily redacted. But when it was unredacted, it showed video footage of Kendrick and Brian Bell in the same hallway walking in the same direction around 10 feet apart. Which completely contradicts Brian's claim that he never saw Kendrick that day. Remember?
Hmm. Yep.
But it seems to have been the only time Brian and Kendrick were in the same area on the camera. So part of me also wonders if he really just weren't
paying attention.
Yeah. Really just didn't notice him. You didn't see him. But it just kind of, you know, kind of interesting because why would it be so heavily redacted? And why wasn't this mentioned beforehand when the FBI first seized the camera footage? Like that I don't get, because you also didn't interview the Bell brothers, most likely because their father was an FBI agent. So again, it's just hard not to see why this was so heavily redacted.
It really is too. It's difficult.
Mm-hmm. And he was found dead, right? So KJ was dead in 2013, right?
Yeah.
This wasn't uncovered until 2020 when they did the Tubi documentary.
Really?
Yes. Jason Pollock, he was obviously doing his research for the documentary, and they uncovered, him and his crew, they uncovered this footage. They uncovered how heavily redacted this was.
That is actually absolutely insane.
I know. No, it's...
And again,
it's
another
crazy.
Another thing that points to cover up.
Exactly. And so the documentary, right, is funny. They showed their parents. They show Mr. and Mrs. Johnson the photo, the footage. And they ask her, like, oh, what is it that you think people are going to say, or, you know, the FBI or whatever they're going to say about this photo? And she's like, oh, I think they're going to say that it was Photoshopped. Like, people are always going to be like, oh, it was probably Photoshopped or manipulated. Okay. Now, the documentary even shows a spreadsheet that the FBI included into this report. And it describes the footage, saying KJ observed in covered walkway moving towards camera. Bell observed in the same location at this time. But no one ever heard about this finding until this documentary in 2020.
That's wild.
Yep.
That's absolutely wild. Yep.
So to me, it's like, you can say it was Photoshop, but also, why did you also write
that? You guys
that?
Also or is wrote that, all, that. Yeah.
So that, is that also
you
Photoshop?
You guys claimed that you also saw the same damn thing.
Exactly. And so as of today, for what people think happened... I mean, a lot of people online are torn 50-50. Some people think it was an insane freak accident. It's just kind of a hard pill to swallow for them that the sheriff's department just botched the investigation because they might have thought, oh, just another case about a black kid who died or whatever, right? But others believe that there's definitely a cover up, and that's just, there's just more to the story.
I'm one of those.
I know. No, I know what you mean. And Kendrick's family, like, they believe he was murdered, plain and simple.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And some of his friends think, you know, it was a fight in the gym that maybe went too far, like it was an accident or something, right? And it was, again, a cover up. And they believe maybe it involved the Bell brothers, but there's really no real evidence to say that they were involved other than them gracing each other in the hallway same day. Yeah.
And having that tussle, like.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But still, there's this underlying feeling, like I mentioned before, if Kendrick had been white, you know, would things have been handled completely different? You can't ignore the history of, you know, the racial inequality in this country, and especially the county, because it's very apparent. It's also very heartbreaking.
Yeah, extremely heartbreaking. So I just have to ask, because you mentioned the documentary and you mentioned some of the investigations started and like findings came out in 2020. What's the most recent update that we have so far?
So the latest update on this case is in March of 2020, and the case was officially reopened in Georgia, but everyone involved still denies any wrongdoing, you know, but the search for the truth continues. I did see that the Johnsons filed like a civil lawsuit. I think I keep seeing different accounts. It was like $1 billion or $200 million or something.
Yeah.
But I think that might have been thrown out, but I think they're still fighting for...
They should.
Yeah, they're still fighting 100%. For answers. And it's honestly, if you go watch the documentary, it brought tears to my eyes because you can just feel their pain. I feel terribly, like, that's just horrible that they're even enduring that. It's horrible. I can't even.
Well, because again, and we've talked about this on so many cases. It's one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked, I've made the comment about to you, I think even off air. About Lauren Spears and...
Yeah, that's another one we
gotta
cover.
So many of these, and like Gabby Petito, our first case that we covered on this podcast. People that go missing or are killed, and then there's never actually answers, and the case is technically closed, but also not closed.
Right.
I think from a parent's perspective, I think that's the hardest part, is the fact that you just don't have answers.
You
just have this brutal occurrence
that
happened.
Yeah.
And you have the loss of a child, and then nobody is there just to just to tell you, like,
hey, is what happened. No one's
this
there to care.
This person's not.
Yeah.
Because I think, and I don't want to say that I can speak for all parents, but to me, if you told me, hey, the person that did this is never going to see jail time, but at least I can tell you what happened, that way you have closure, I would take that.
Yeah.
Because as frustrating as it would be to know, like, oh, cool, that person's just scot-free and my kid's dead, at least I know what the hell happened, and I'm not feeling like I'm this crazy person saying, like, there's no way that it was an accidental death. And
I know what you mean, because I felt the same way.
Yeah.
And so do you think that it was a cover-up, or do you think it was just a tragic accident?
Oh, I'm leaning on cover.
I know.
100%.
I'm leaning on something must have happened that it wasn't intended to go that way, and maybe there's more at play here. I just don't believe that it could just be him falling and slipping. It just doesn't make sense.
And I don't want to lean on like a hate crime.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. But, I don't think it's that. But I do think that it was just, I think something must have went down that we don't know. Could it have been a fight? I mean, the blunt force trauma leads to that. So it's hard to not think that it isn't that.
I mean, the thing is, and I'll be honest, I've seen a number of school fights. And I mean, hell, we had a wall of bricks in my middle school. And I remember I watched this one girl. She literally grabbed the other girl by her hair and slammed her head up into the bricks.
Right.
And they were both perfectly fine. Like, they had blood everywhere, but and at that, they were at fine. That age, and that's...
Yeah.
And I think, to me, that's where I agree with your scenario of maybe there was an accident in a fight.
Yeah.
And then they freaked out. Because, genuinely, to me, I don't think at that time, as a kid, the girl that slammed the other girl's head into the bricks, I genuinely don't think she realized that what she was getting ready to do... Or what could have potentially happened.
Exactly, yeah. There's a case that it was like last year, I think it was, but this one girl, she and her friend, like, they went to go fight another girl. Her friend accidentally killed her. And so she was like, well, I had nothing to do with it because I was just there. But she's caught on camera in the interview being investigated, and she kind of is like, yeah, I threw a punch or two, right? And she was like, well, but I didn't kill her. And they're like, yeah, but you are part of it now.
Part of it, you
were there. You didn't say anything. You also threw in a punch or you held her down. Yeah. So, yeah. But that just goes to show, when you're at that age, you don't think about the ramifications
for your actions.
No, you don't.
Is that the right phrase?
Yeah, ramifications.
Thank you.
Yeah. I got what you said. I got what you were putting down.
College trap out, y'all.
No, but it's so true. And honestly, that's just like so sad. It's impossible to imagine what the Johnsons are going through, because I can't even put it into words. And from me and Tom, like, we're sending them so much love and strength. Like, you know, we're going to keep talking about Kendrick and continue to keep his name alive so that his family can get more answers, because I just think there has to be more to this.
And I think that's a huge, and I think I mentioned this on a few of our cases and a few of our episodes, that's a huge thing for us, I feel like, is that one of our biggest goals, and I think so many other true crime podcasts have a similar goal, is a lot of these cases that are unsolved or have so many unanswered questions, trying to make sure that we continue to bring them back in the spotlight and get people to continue to keep talking about it, able to make sure that there's pressure on the government and on the people that this is their job to investigate to research and figure out what happened.
Yeah, and it reminds me of the Golden State Killer, because nobody knew who he was up until like a couple of years ago. And the only reason why that case was solved was because somebody in his family did a genealogy thing, and that's how they connected it from a crime scene. And I was like, wow, look at that, justice. Even though it was like 40 plus years later, at least we have answers.
Yeah.
And that's why I just have to go on a quick rant for a second, because of the deep dive that I went on for this case and how extremely heartbreaking it was. As I just want us to reflect on the case of Kendrick Johnson, right? And it's impossibly hard to ignore the broader context of racial inequality that just fills our society. What we've seen time and time again, how the scales of justice are just not balanced, and how the color of one's skin can pretty much influence the way that they're treated. You know, like tragic deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Rodney King, Trayvon Martin, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We mentioned Mary Turner today on the podcast. Eric Garner, and I mean Emmett Till. There's just so much more. The historical injustices that was inflicted upon Emmett Till are the nasty reminders of the reality that we kind of live in today, unfortunately. And these names that are clearly etched into our consciousness represent a fraction of the countless lives that were impacted by stupid systematic racism. Like, just stop being racist.
At the end of the day, and this is one thing I remember that both, like, it's talked about in the military and it's talked about in, like, the fire departments and police departments. One of the things that they constantly try to harp on is also because you're what they consider you're going into battle.
Yeah.
is at the end of the day, whoever's on your left and your right, doesn't matter their skin color, we all bleed red.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
We all have organs.
Like, and that's the thing that so many of us don't even realize, that it's an absolute privilege that many of us hold to be able to, no joke, walk down the street without the constant fear of being targeted, either by the color of our skin or being a woman or whatever the case is, but to be pulled over. Like, we don't have that constant fear of being pulled over by law enforcement without the dread that, you know, maybe it's going to be our last encounter because they might pull a gun out on us. I don't know. And this is just like a privilege that is not shared by everyone. And for many Black Americans, like, these are everyday anxieties, a constant weight that they have to carry with them. And like I said, just stop f***ing racist. Okay.
Yeah.
Just stop being racist.
I know we sound like hippies. Peace and love, bro. Because genuinely, like, why do you have to hate somebody?
I know.
Like, just get along with each other.
I know. It's just, to me, it seems so simple, but I guess it's just not that simple. And it's just sad to see that. And I mean, I will say that we've noticed it throughout the years, the push for more police cameras and people utilizing their cell phones for footage in these moments clearly have brought a lot of those injustices into focus and continues to reveal a reality that many of us have long ignored and denied. And we've just, I don't know how many times it drives me insane when I see a white mass murderer arrested peacefully while others like George Floyd or Rodney King are killed in broad daylight or by sworn protected police. We see echoes of Emmett Till's murder and countless stories of lives lost to racial violence. Like, it's no joke. It's understandable to feel a sense of deep exhaustion. And to be honest, if you're already like, oh my God, I'm over it, like, stop talking about it, like, I don't want to hear it, that's a problem. Like, just, like, we need to all be talking about it, because with the repetition of these tragedies, people, like, there's no space in our world for hate or racism. And as a Hispanic person, I recognize that my community also has its own struggles with injustice. It's very distinct. You know, we've got our own situation. But it's just vital to recognize the unique burden placed upon Black Americans. It's just unfortunate. It is what it is. There's nothing that we can do to it. And to end it, I just want to say, stop being racist. God, we all deserve to live in a world where we can just be who we are in our own skin. It's already tough as it is, so I don't know why we're making it any tougher. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
That's it. But anyways, I just want to say, I'll say this last thing and that's it. I'm done. Okay. To Kendrick Johnson's family and to all those who have lost loved ones to racial violence or have ever been pushed to the side because their lost loved ones just don't receive the coverage that they deserve, we offer our deepest condolences and our support. We will continue to say their names, to remember their stories, and to fight for a future where equality is not a dream but also a reality. Okay, so please just stop being racist. Okay, I swear I'm done now. Rant. I swear I'm done now. Okay, all right, love you all. Please love one another. Okay.
Just be nice to one another.
Just be nice to one another, okay? We don't know what anyone's going through.
Bullying and all that, like, you're getting ready to get me on a rant.
I know. Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Once again, we would love to hear from you guys. If you have a story that's strange, sinister, or just downright spooky, doesn't matter how small you think it might be, please send it our way. I would love to be able to see somebody's story come in that neither one of us have ever heard of, or even if it's just a personal story. So feel free to send it to us. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to our website, macabremondays.com, and you can submit your story. Yours just might be featured on an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episodes, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mystery is just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe. Bye, everyone.
Deuces.
Now, before we wrap up, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the sources that helped me piece together the incredibly complex story today. It's important to remember that this case is still unfolding and there are many different perspectives. A lot of the detailed information about the autopsy findings, the interviews with Dr. William R. Anderson, and the analysis of lung weights came from the Tubi documentary simply titled Kendrick Johnson Case. It's a really in-depth look at the forensic evidence, and I highly recommend checking it out if you want to dive deeper. For the information about the Bell brothers, the missing camera footages, the FBI involvement, and the various legal proceedings, I relied on a combination of news reports from outlets like WJCL News, CNN News, and various investigative reports. Information regarding the court documents came from publicly accessible legal databases. Also, the Valdosta Daily Times provided crucial local coverage, as well as websites like All That's Interesting and Stanford University's Say Their Names exhibit. You can find more information on the website. I'll break all the sources down there. I also used YouTube channels like Fatal Breakdown and Truly Criminal, whose video, The Tragic and Mysterious Death of Kendrick Johnson, 2020 update in the description box, provided a great timeline of events and points of interest. Footage of videos were also used from CNN's news coverage on YouTube. I'll also post that into our website. The historical context about J. Edgar Hoover and COINTELPRO came from a range of historical texts and documentaries, including materials from the FBI's own archives and an independent historical analysis of the time period, such as The Age of Surveillance by Frank J. Donner, Official and Confidential, The Secret Life of J. Edgar Hoover by Anthony Summers, and The Gospel of J. Edgar Hoover by Leroy Martin. And of course, many interviews from news outlets and documentaries were used to gather all the information of this episode. It's crucial to acknowledge that this case is incredibly sensitive and there are still many unanswered questions. I've tried my very best to present the facts as accurately as possible, but I also want to acknowledge that there are different interpretations of the evidence. I encourage you to do your own research and form your own conclusions. And as always, I will include a detailed list of sources in the show notes.